And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is a new year and a new way of seeing things. Each of my three guests is giving us a fresh perspective for 2011. My first guest is one of the country's top leadership trainers. He explained the science of extraordinary achievement and gave us the secrets to getting from where we are to where we want to be through hard goals. My second guest is one of this country's top financial reporters. She's the anchor of CNBC's Street Signs and the co-anchor of Squawk on the Street. We went behind the burqa to learn what it was like reporting from the Middle East as a woman. My next guest will give us a new way of looking at our 16th president, Abraham Lincoln. He's done research to prove that Euclidean geometry is the reason why a self-educated man could produce such inspiring words. If you want to join in the conversation or ask a question, you can always call us at 639-0008. David Hirsch is an attorney in Des Moines, Iowa. He got his BS from Michigan State University and his JD with distinction from the University of Iowa College of Law. David co-authored the technology column for the American Bar Association Journal for over a decade. The idea for this book came from a column he co-authored for the ABA Journal back in 2007. His latest book is titled Abraham Lincoln and the Structure of Reason. Welcome to the show, David. How are you today?
Just great. Good to hear from you.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on the show because you have such an interesting and unusual topic, and I want to get into that right now because everybody thinks of the words of Abraham Lincoln. Of course, we all have recited at one point or another the Gettysburg Address. We know that Abraham Lincoln was a brilliant writer, and few would argue with that. He was also self-educated, and that's a known fact as well. But how did you develop the idea for this book, particularly as an attorney, where you would equate the words of Abraham Lincoln to Euclidean geometry?
Well, we didn't start out keying on that. The initial focus of the book, which we started a little over 3 years ago, was to compare Lincoln's practice of law to the way law is practiced now. With over 16,000 books and pamphlets written about Abraham Lincoln, my co-author Dan Van Haften and I agreed ahead of time we weren't going to get into Lincoln's speeches and we weren't going to get into his presidential years. And then, right at the beginning, Dan says to me, after we had reached that understanding, that the first thing he wanted to do was read the Lincoln-Douglas debates and then read Lincoln's Cooper Union speech, which I thought was an unusual place for him to start, given the agreement we had made. But Dan's not the type of person that I want to turn off his creativity on. And so that's what he did. And he came back with seven pages of notes on the Lincoln-Douglas debates, and I focused in on one paragraph that talked about a reference Lincoln made in the debates to Euclid, and I just knew that was it. That was the secret to his speeches. So I asked Dan to go research those 16,000 books, obviously not all of them, as much as he could, and find out what everyone was saying about Lincoln and Euclid, because neither of us, when we started this, were Lincoln scholars, and we didn't really know what was out there. We were just going where the evidence led us. So he did that, and what he found out was they all said about the same thing, and it wasn't much, and just basically said Lincoln had mastered the first six books of Euclid, and the reason he read it was to learn how to demonstrate. Now, most people concluded that he did it because he enjoyed it, and it was mental calisthenics. And so I said, well, Dan, we got to find out what it means to demonstrate. And since these books don't tell us, you go read the first six books of Euclid and find out what it means to demonstrate. And fundamentally, I said to him, don't come back until you know. Because I knew it was there, and he figured it out. And fundamentally, it was taking the six elements of a proposition and using it as a template for speeches.
All right. We're talking to David Hirsch, everybody, author, co-author of the book Abraham Lincoln and the Structure of Reason. And David, you have made it a known fact that you believe there's a connection between mathematics and speech. In fact, you say that English and mathematics are the two most important areas of study for somebody who is planning a career in American law. How did you take the connection between geometry, which I view as a very visual science or mathematics, and equate that to writing, which is very oral, and how did you make that connection?
Well, again, it was made because we were led to it by what Dan found, but it turns out that the kind of mathematics, geometrical mathematics that Euclid used was based on language. In other words, it's pre-algebra, and it's based on expressing yourself in language and giving these proofs that are ironclad and solid. And what Lincoln did, the true genius of Lincoln, was taking that mathematical concept geometrically and turning it into language, and that's the way his speeches were. They were just, they had a beauty and a soundness that was irrefutable.
All righty. Now, that is, it's very interesting, and some would say, well, you guys have got a lot of time on your hands to research all of this. So how, let's bring it back into practical terms for listeners who are listening to us today. How does this all impact our daily lives? How does it give us a better understanding of Lincoln, or more importantly, how does it improve our own writing and our own persuasion?
Yeah, well, to answer the question about Lincoln first, it takes what everybody's already recognized as beautiful writing, and it makes us understand why it's so beautiful. In chapter 15 of the book, we kind of steal from John Ciardi, who wrote a wonderful book on poetry, and entitled it "How Does a Poem Mean?" And we call that chapter "How Does a Speech Mean?" And when you deconstruct it, when you deconstruct a poem, it kind of mangles the poem but lets you understand it, and then you discard the structure that you thought about, and you read the poem again, and you understand it better. The same thing is true with Lincoln's speeches. Now you can get inside his brain, you can see how he put it together, and you can understand that speech better and its beauty better.
All right.
As far as what it can do generally for
mm-hmm.
us,
yes.
What this method does, it's a wonderful technique. It exposes sophistry. It kind of, you know, this soundbite-oriented society that we have today, it breaks right through that. And Lincoln had great soundbites, but they, you know, it was like a well-timed statement that hit home. And instead of a bunch of illogical soundbites, you've got real proof and real meaning, and it can take the sophistry out of the public life and public politics.
Okay, great. We are talking to David Hirsch, everybody, co-author of Abraham Lincoln and The Structure of Reason. And David, one of the things I found amusing and bemusing at the same time is that you and your co-authors set out to write this book. You were going to focus mainly on Lincoln's practice of law versus the practice of law today. You were going to shy away from all of his political career and his political stuff and kind of focus on his jury arguments and his appellate court arguments, oral arguments. But that sort of fell through. I mean, right away, your co-author decides he's going to start reading the speeches, the political speeches of Lincoln. Why did you have to go to the political speeches of Lincoln to sort of develop your theory?
Well, actually, he used this technique in the practice of law, and that's where he used it first. But there's not much left, not much record of his actual words in the practice of law. We've got a few closing arguments, some cross-examination, but not much. So most of what we have to work with are speeches, and that's the only way to really prove this with force, because that's what's best documented. But also, his speeches are so beautiful, and initially we figured there was no point covering that. It was going to be off topic, and what could we say that hadn't already been said? But here, suddenly we discovered something that nobody had said, that nobody had discovered. So it was like a vast, fertile field to go into.
Well, it is. It's very, very novel thinking. And so who's picking up on this thinking, and who's starting to cover it besides Brainstorming with Billy the Brain?
Well, you know, the book's only been out since November 16th. So, and it's not a quick read. We'd like to think it's not a difficult read, but it's a book that you've got it's got a lot of substance to it, and you don't swallow it in one chunk. Lincoln scholars, though, have given us a warm reception, and you know, basically the language they use is it's groundbreaking.
Well, it certainly is. I mean, your whole thesis is groundbreaking. What about Civil War enthusiasts? Are they intrigued by this book?
Yeah, I think at least some of the reaction that we've gotten from Civil War enthusiasts is sometimes I think some of them get a little tired of the Lincoln books and the repetition in them, and I think they recognize this as something new.
We're talking to David Hirsch, everybody, co-author of Abraham Lincoln and the Structure of Reason. We're talking about that book. And as we said just a moment ago, you wanted to shy away from his political speeches, but you ended up having to go there because there was a dearth of records of his jury arguments and his appellate arguments. So why did you choose, or why did your partner choose Lincoln's Cooper Union speech as a jumping off point for this study?
You know, I've never asked him that question. And it's a great question, and all I know is once he came back with those notes and I saw the word Euclid, we were off and running.
You were off to the races at that point with Euclidean geometry. All right, if you had to pick one, just one of Lincoln's speeches that best exemplifies your thesis that his writing technique was based on Euclidean geometry, which one speech would that be?
Well, in Chapter 2, the speech that we used to prove it initially was the first third of the Cooper Union speech. The Cooper Union speech is split into what amounts to three speeches, and the first third shows it beautifully. On the other hand, the Gettysburg Address also shows it in a wonderful way, and the first time we demarcated it or split it into the six elements, you know, it wasn't easy to do. The Cooper Union speech just was automatic. It all fit, obviously. The Gettysburg Address is so poetic that you almost had to split part of it into sentences. But I just reread it last night, actually, and split into the six elements. It fits beautifully.
Well, take us through the Gettysburg Address, because most of my listeners are very familiar with that, certainly more so than the Cooper Union speech, and just point out some of the six elements that you found in the Gettysburg Address.
Sure. I got a book right here. Let me just turn to the page where we demarcate it. The six elements, the first element's the enunciation, and the enunciation starts out with a given, which is just facts that nobody can dispute. So 87 years ago, brought forth on a new continent, our fathers. That's all part of the given. And the thought, which is another part of the enunciation, is testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived, so dedicated, can long endure. So that's the enunciation. That's the first element. The exposition takes the given and prepares it for use in the investigation. We are met in the great battlefield of that war. And then what the speech is really designed to prove is that the nation's going to survive, and it ends up that with a new birth of freedom of the people, by the people, for the people, we're not going to perish from this earth. So the basic proposition here is that the country's going to survive.
And not only survive, but survive and be stronger as a result of it.
Right.
Okay, good. Good. And that's the Gettysburg Address that you've been talking about. Now, in discovering this book, this was not an easy process. This didn't just come to you overnight. How long of a process was this from inception to the actual printed book?
3 years.
3 years, 36 months in the making. And in the course of doing that, how much research, how many hours of research did you and your partner have to put into this?
Dan was working full-time, and for Dan, that's more than 8 hours a day. He had just retired at the point that we started the book. I was stealing time. I was working at midnight, 3 a.m, waking up early, staying up late, trying to practice law in between. So there were a lot of hours there.
Absolutely. We're talking to David Hirsch, co-author of the book Abraham Lincoln and the Structure of Reason. David, if you've piqued some listeners' interest in this, they want to learn more about you or learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, our website for the book, thestructureofreason.com, is probably the best place to go because we pretty well lay out our backgrounds and have a study guide to the book and so on.
All right. TheStructureOfReason.com is the website to go there. And the book's only been out for a couple of weeks. Where is the book available? Is it available in all the usual places?
Yeah, it's been out for a couple months. Yeah, all the usual places. It came out on Kindle also about a week ago and should be on the other digital devices soon.
All right. So it's available on Kindle. You can buy it at Amazon. You can buy it at Barnes & Noble, Borders, or right here in Ventura at Bank of Books, our own local store. They do sell new books there as well. David, fascinating book, fascinating thesis, Abraham Lincoln and the Structure of Reason. Thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
Pleasure talking to you as well.